I've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord tonight. This is not what I normally do. I enjoy doing it because it's for the Lord. I don't do it for myself. But I love God. And I just ask you to have patience tonight. And don't hurt to say amen once in a while. And we'll do the best that we can. We're going to talk tonight about common prayer killers. And I don't have a verse to come from, but we're going to go through several of them as we go through the list here tonight. The first one that we probably would have trouble with would be like an unconfessed sin. If we've got something in our heart, in our mind, that we haven't asked God for forgiveness yet, it's going to bother us when we get down to pray, and it's going to be in the way of getting up to the Lord. The psalmist in Psalms 88 or 66 and 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me, and he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." So that wasn't David, that was one of the other writers. I don't remember which one it was. But anyway, he confessed his sin, and he praised the Lord all in the same verse. And that's what we do. If we'll just praise God and accept his blessings, he'll forgive us of our sins if we ask him to, and he'll make things right. Iniquity is sin, and we need to ask God's forgiveness daily for the things we've done knowingly and unknowingly. Anything that's sin, it might be an unkind word to somebody. It might be a thought that goes through our mind that shouldn't be there. It could be a number of things, but we just need to bring them before God and confess them each and every time. And Jeremiah said, "For I will forgive their iniquity." Jeremiah didn't say that. God said that to Jeremiah. He said, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. They are in the sea of forgetfulness." And that's just a great and marvelous thing as far as I'm concerned, that the sins that I've committed in my past, they're gone. God doesn't even remember them anymore. And sometimes Satan will kind of hit us upside the head with it and try to push them down our throat. But we can just tell him, "Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus, because my sins are gone. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus, and they're put into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again." And praise God for that. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just need to confess them and not hide them, because God knows all of it anyway. The next one is a lack of faith. In James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the winds and tossed. For let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of God. That a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." And a double-minded man is somebody that can't make up his mind. He doesn't know which way he wants to go. And it says here that if you a mind that wavers is not completely convinced that God's way is the best. So we got to be stable in our ways. We got to know what we're praying for. We got to know who we serve and why we serve him and what Jesus did for us on the cross. The third one is disobedience. And in 1 John 3:21, it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And God definitely rewards obedience. You go through the Bible story after story, and those that are obedient to God, God blessed them. And for those that were disobedient to God, he didn't bless them. He just took out his vengeance on them. And I think of one story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament in Acts, where the church was just being formed, and they were selling their possessions and bringing the goods and bringing the monies for it into the church. Well, Ananias and Sapphira sold what they had, and they only brought part of it to the church. But Peter told them when Ananias came there, says, Ananias said, why are you trying to deceive the Holy Ghost? Said, he knows what you sold, and he knows how much you brought. And the conversation went on, and Ananias finally just dropped dead there because he did lie to the Holy Spirit. The fourth one I got on here is lack of transparency with God and others. We need to confess our faults one to another that ye may be healed. That's in James 5:16. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if we've sinned against another person, one of your brothers, one of your sisters, or anybody, we need to go to them and confess it to them and just make it right with them. If you sinned against a church, you need to confess to the church, you know, what's happened, and just bring it before God and bring it before the church. And we should all have a close Christian friend that we can be accountable to, that can help us when we struggle with a sin, when we struggle with something in our life, somebody that we can have confidence in, and we can go to them and talk to them just like a friend, like a brother, and just work things out that way. And they'll help us when we need assurance of God's mercy and of his grace. We need to be truthful in all things. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The fifth one I've got here is for unforgiveness. In Matthew 18:21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall a brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus answered him and said, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, which is 490 times, and probably nobody's going to sin against you 490 times. But if they do, you start all over again, because 490, as I read there, was the number of eternity. So just throughout eternity, you forgive whoever's sinned against you if they come fast. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. But we certainly want our trespasses to be forgiven, and we want God to do that for us, so we need to do it for each other. If somebody sins against you, somebody does you wrong, just forgive them and go on like nothing happened. Number six was in James 4:3. It's for the wrong motives. James said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So you got to be careful what we pray for, and you got to know what we pray for, that it's God's will, and why you pray for it. James tells us that the most common problems in prayer is not asking, and then asking for the wrong things for the wrong reasons. We ask, you know, God to give us more money, give us a better job that pays more, the possessions that we have, and we like to have a higher status in life. But we should just pray in God's will. So your prayers will become more powerful when you allow God to change your desires so that they can correspond with his will. That's in 1 John 3:21. Another one is idols in our lives. In Ezekiel 14:6, said, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away from your faces from all your abominations. So we don't need to have other idols. We just need to worship God. We need to be in his favor, and we need to be worshiping him at all things and not let anything get between us and what our Lord would do for us. Another one is a disregard for others. In Psalms 33:13 said, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of man. In John 13:34 said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye shall also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We need to love others, each other, just like Jesus loved us, and his was a sacrificial love. He sacrificed his life on Calvary, on the old rugged cross, for us, for our sins, that our sins would be forgiven us, and that we could just be in favor of God. If we do that, it's going to show the world and all mankind that that's the love that comes from God, and it makes believers stronger and more united, and it also will help other people to want more of what we've got. There's disregard for God's sovereignty. Before I formed thee, he was talking here at Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And Jeremiah was born with a special call on his life, right from before he was ever born. And only God can do that. No one else can put a call on your life, especially even before you're born. And another one here is an unsurrendered will. Psalms 139, 23rd verse says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I think it's pretty well self-explanatory what an unsurrendered will is, but sometimes we get stubborn and we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We're afraid to, or think we can't afford to, or we're going to lose friends, or we're going to lose some family or whatever. But God wants us unconditionally. He wants us, whatever it costs us, he wants us to follow him. And our prayer should be, "Here am I, Lord, just send me." And some other things, too, that comes to our minds is, the mind is a place that Satan can do some serious damage to your prayer life. In Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we can't go out here and just see what we're up against, but it's just powers and spirits in the world that we can't see sometimes that we're fighting against. And the way that we can prepare ourselves for that is just to go ahead and what Ephesians 6 says, and it says to take upon you the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil day and to stand. So once we put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, all the armor, we need to stand up for God and be firm in our stance. And forgiveness of your past life. A lot of times, things in our past will kind of haunt us and come to our mind and distract us from our prayers. But God has forgiven us, and if God's forgiven you, then you don't need to put it on yourself other than just forgive yourself for what you've done, because God has already done that, and he's put your sins, like I said, in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And faith and prayer go hand in hand. The stronger our belief, the more likely our prayers will be in line with what God will have us to do. And if we're in God's will, then he's happy to grant them the prayers to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. When we're not sure what we should pray for, he makes intercession for us. We should all develop the attitude of, when we pray, "God, I want what you want, and if I want what you don't want, change my mind. Change me." And prayer develops our relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't get into the Bible and if you don't pray. Because he relates to us through the Word, and we talk to him through prayer. And he listens to us. He hears your prayer. Sometimes we don't think it does, that he does, that he's listening, but he does. In Hebrews 4:16 says, "We should come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace in the time of need." Because we are his children, and if we're his children, then we're heirs of the throne. heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And how much more could we ask for than to be heirs of the throne of God? That one of these days we're gonna see what the throne looks like, and we're gonna see just exactly what's there. So just in a recap, just think about your unconfessed sins, your lack of faith and disobedience, lack of transparency. Just be forgiving in all things. Get rid of the idols in your life, and just have more concern and watch the disregard for others, for your unsurrendered wills, and just ask God to give you a clean mind and not be hindered by the things, you know, that are in your past or whatever, but just be what God would have you to be. And that's about all I've got tonight. And see, what'd I tell you? I thought I'd go for an hour and a half and went for about 15 minutes. But I enjoy being in God's house. I enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. And just hope that we've said something tonight that might encourage somebody, that might be a little blessing to someone. And we'll just have the prayer now. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Sometimes, Lord, we have a hard time understanding it, but if we just ask God that you help us to understand it, that you reveal it to us and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives and reveal it to us, then we'll understand it more. And we just ask you, Lord, for a closer walk with you for each and every one of us. Ask you to be with each one tonight as they go to their homes. Be with us until we can come together again and worship you. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.